This is The Science Show on RN. Of course, one set of scientists who nearly won the big prize and may yet do so are many of our physicists at the ANU, Swinburne and the University of Sydney and elsewhere who helped track those gravitational waves. Here's one of them, Professor David Blair from the University of Western Australia, on this week's big news and how it all began in 1973.
I was a young postdoc, naive, enthusiastic. I just arrived to Louisiana, walk into a set of basement labs, a huge cryogenic gravitational wave detector being built down at the end of the corridor in a big steel building. And on the walls, these signs that said GRD for Xmas, Gravitational Radiation Detection for Christmas. Well, I didn't discuss the signs with anybody. I just worked and worked and worked. But it got to Christmas time and I really wanted a few days off. And I went to my boss and said, could I have a few days off? I know we're supposed to be getting the detector ready for Christmas. And he said, oh, don't worry about those signs. They've been up since last Christmas.
And 40 Christmases later, did you imagine, I mean, after the last year's announcement, and of course now we've got the Nobel Prizes, that so quickly after the discovery there'd be an announcement, as we've had this week, which shows it even more magnificently as being right on the money?
It's absolutely extraordinary, almost too good to be true. All our Christmases come at once, and then all our Christmases come at once again. First of all, the black holes were just more than we could have hoped for, but we didn't expect to see them. And then the neutron star coming with the gamma rays, with the kilonova. All of that, all at once, and in a loud signal from something very close, one of the closest gamma ray bursts that's ever been seen. It's so good.
It's only about, what, 120 million light years away?
Yeah.
And was it true that your telescope on the campus of University of Western Australia helped find it?
It played a key role in monitoring the afterglow. So another bit of luck for us was it was only visible in the southern hemisphere in light because it was daytime for that galaxy in the northern hemisphere.
Now, LIGO, the laser interferometer, of course, recognised that as being placed in the United States, but also now you've got another base in Europe, and so you can more or less pinpoint where the signal is coming from roughly, can you?
Yes, and the fact that the Virgo detector hardly saw the signal at all, it just saw it very, very weakly.
Virgo in Italy?
Virgo in Italy, yeah. So it was the weakness of the signal as seen in Italy because of that particular orientation of that detector that told us that it came from near that galaxy NGC 4493.
So you've got the Americans and you've got the Italians, but so many Australians have been involved as well. How come?
Yeah, 88 Australians now involved in that. So we are getting up towards 10% of this global community that is part of this whole project. Australia's involvement really came about from the efforts of Nobel Prize winner Barry Barish, who won the Nobel Prize just a few weeks ago. He realised that the project was so big, it really needed to be internationalised. You really needed to bring in all the expertise available from around the world. And the way to do that was to offer partnership. So by internationalising that project, he brought in strength from lots of other universities, and that really is what made LIGO reach the point that it did with all of its success 1 or 2 years ago.
As you said, he got the Nobel Prize, and he's going to be on The Science Show in December with an amazing panel of people talking about the merits of big science and how it should be shared. Barry Barish, very interesting man, quietly spoken, but nonetheless very powerful indeed.
Absolutely. He learnt all this from CERN. Of course, CERN and particle physics is that area that really pioneered the communication of scientists, involvement of huge teams. That was part of the process that's necessary. And now we have this fabulous process in the LIGO scientific collaboration with massive levels of communication and participation.
Will discoveries go on at this pace every few months, do you think?
Well, right now we've reached a point where the detectors are being stopped for at least a year while a lot of improvements are made because LIGO hasn't reached its full design sensitivity yet. There's still a factor of two or a bit more than a factor of two improvement. these small factors of improvement have a dramatic effect, as we could see from the first discoveries, where a factor of three improvement was sufficient to go from never detecting anything over years and years and years to suddenly detecting, you know, a few events. So the next improvements are going to stretch the volume of the universe we can see better and better. Now, the other thing is that there's less skepticism about the signals we see. It doesn't become so absolutely critical to verify because we know we really understand at least some of the signals. So I think there's going to be an increasing flood of data coming in. But at the same time, I do think we've been fantastically lucky with this neutron star coalescence that's just happened, because I can't believe that there will be that many of those things happening so close. If they were, they would have been detected maybe by the generation of resonant bar detectors and the first generation of the LIGO detector. And in neither cases did we see anything.
Final question, and this is one for the pub quiz. If you had a neutron star the size of Perth and you took a cupful of it, how much would that cupful weigh?
I'd say about the mass of Tasmania.
That's right. All your Christmases have come at once again. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Blair is Director of the Centre of Excellence for Gravitational Wave Discovery in Perth, on this week's massive revelations about those neutron stars colliding.